finally finished up Matthew 12. I realize I move pretty slow. I don't know. I think it took me over a year to teach Romans up there. There's only 16 chapters in Romans. But I think my thought is we have nowhere to be. If we finish quick, we're just going to start over. And so, take our time through it. Matthew 12:33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. All right, I'll skip to chapter 13. I want to start reading that. We're going to finish up with that verse, actually, but I just wanted to read it to you. So Matthew 13 is the common one, the parable of the sower. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell along the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to keep going. It says, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? This is going to be our main lesson today. Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them. He said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Okay, so next week we're going to talk about the parable of the sower, and what it actually means, and how that's relevant to us. Like I said, today is about just asking the question, why parables? Why did Jesus speak in parables? And so I looked up the definition in a couple different ways. If you just look up the basic definition of a parable, it's going to say it's something like, just a saying to explain something. If you look up the Greek, it's going to hint more to something like, it's more of a comparison. Instead of like an explanation story, it's a comparison. So in this case, Jesus is going to compare your hearts to soil. I'm going to teach you a lesson about soil and seed. And as I'm saying that, learn what I'm saying about soil and seed, and then also learn what I'm saying about your heart, because they're similar. I'm making a comparison here. So, and then there's a reasons for parables. They ask him why, and Jesus kind of gives a little bit of a veiled answer. But I have three reasons here. There's probably several. One is that it's just prophesied in the Old Testament that he would. I think Psalm 78 says, I'll speak to them in parables. He calls them dark sayings of old, okay? So it's prophesied that Jesus would speak to people in parables. Second thing, just taking it from our text, verse 12 says, as Jesus' response to the question, why do you speak to them in parables, his answer really is, for to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, okay? So part of his purpose in speaking in parables is to give more to those who have ears to hear, okay? And it's to take away from the ones who think they have something. So for us, for the righteous who have ears to hear, if we take a parable and the Holy Spirit enlivens our hearts and our ears to hear it and understand it, we're going to have more knowledge of the Lord Jesus more revelations, probably a better word, of the Lord Jesus than we had before the parable, okay? So it increases our understanding, and it confounds those who have the hardened hearts. But my third reason is taken from verse 13. It's really the ultimate reason, I think, that Jesus speaks in parables. Okay, that's the verse that says, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, and they don't understand." Okay, so I can't mainly think of a parable as being just a way that Jesus used to explain things. You know, he's not trying to simplify things for people to understand it better. He's actually doing something different. He's quoting Isaiah 6 and saying, "I'm going to say these parables, and it's actually going to harden the people." Okay, it's actually going to harden a certain group of people. That's my purpose in speaking this way. And he quotes out of Isaiah 6. Do you guys remember the Isaiah 6 story? One of the coolest stories, I think, in the Old Testament. It's where Isaiah is. You can turn there if you want. I'm probably just going to summarize it. But Isaiah is. He sees a vision of the Lord, right? And he just becomes undone at this vision. I'm going to go ahead and turn there, I guess. But the very beginning of it just says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe to me, I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people who are unclean, but my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Okay, and then what happens is the angel's going to come to him and is going to put fire or a burning coal on his mouth, and he's going to give him a commission. And then this is where we hear that great verse, it's in verse 8, where the Lord says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" So at the revelation of seeing the Lord, Isaiah is ruined for himself, and he's ruined for his people. He sees their uncleanness. He says, and God says, "Who's going to go for me to these people?" And Isaiah gives the greatest response, I think, in the Old Testament. "Here I am, send me." You know, it's just the most simple, you know. It should be the cry of all our heart. It's not, "Let me go get prepared." It's not, you know, "Let me do this or get things in order." It's, "Here I am, send me." That should be all of our heart's cry. When we hear this story, sometimes we're tempted to stop there and think, you know, and if we don't finish the story, we probably think, man, God just probably really used Isaiah, and he sends him, and all these people hear Isaiah's prophecies, and all these people become clean and saved, and that's really not what happens at all. He says, okay, if you're going to say, "Here I am, send me," then I'm going to say, you go to the people, and you say to them, "Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the hearts of this people dull, and their eyes heavy, and blind their eyes, unless they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." So he pretty much says, go and preach to them, and make their hearts harder than they are. Your words are going to harden their hearts even more. It's not going to soften them, and it's not going to save them. And Isaiah says, how long am I going to do that? And pretty much what he says is, until the end, okay? It's not like a yearly mission, okay? It's until the end. Go ahead and keep doing this. That's your purpose, Isaiah, is to give a word that will never be heard, okay, by the people you're speaking to. That's weird. And I guess what I want to say is, don't forget that one of the things Jesus came to do is divide, okay? He really came to divide. Yes, he came to love. There's several areas of what Jesus came to do, but he came to bring some sort of division. It was prophesied over him in Luke 2:34. Simeon came to Mary and said, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." Okay? More. Just as much as saving, Jesus is coming to reveal what's in our hearts. And how he does that is by, whether it's preaching the word plainly or by giving a parable that some people don't understand. Some do, some don't. And this exposes our hearts, and that's the mission of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So here's what I have to say about having ears to hear. Probably not this week. We're not going to get into necessarily why. You know, that's the first question. Why would God give Ryan ears to hear, and maybe Becky doesn't have ears to hear, and, you know, why would he do that? Why would he pick one, not the other? What plays into that? Why? We're just going to leave that alone for right now. But what I do want to say is just from what I see in the text, we have a pretty good example in this parable of what it is to have ears to hear, what plays into it, okay? If we look at the Luke version of this story, it's Luke 8, if you're taking notes. And again, you don't have to turn there, but it uses that last phrase, and it says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop." To me, that's the soil that has ears to hear. That's the heart who has ears to hear. Someone, pay attention to these things. First, they can hear the word, obviously, but they have a noble and a good heart. Okay, that's imperative in having ears to hear. Okay, the condition of your heart. Secondly, they can retain what's told to them. What now, based off this parable, if you guys already know it, why do people not retain the word that's been sowed in them? Because they have no root, right? So what happens? Trial comes, and what? And trial comes, and it withers up and dies, okay? What would be the other reason? Cares of this life, you know, things going on. So there's a couple reasons why. Those things keep you from having ears to hear, okay? Maybe not in every area, but in some areas, I think there's pockets in our heart where we have a hard time hearing the word of the Lord, because, and maybe in that area, I have too much cares, or I have a little root because of trial. You know, I've had trial in that area. I have history. I have past. I have was grown up in this family. You know, this person did this to me. There's a lot of stuff in our heart. And man, hear me, that the Lord has mercy on those things, you know. And we also have a certain amount of responsibility to obey the Lord Jesus in dealing with those things, okay? And I also add in that I think if I see something in Joe's heart, that's why we're the church. That's why we're the body. I have a responsibility to him not to keep quiet, you know. When I see something stirring, when I see an offense stirring and building in his heart, I have, based off love, you know, and because I can see that, man, maybe, you know, if he's got something wrong in his heart, he's going to hear the word and it's going to harden that area. And if I love Joe, I'm going to go to him and say, man, you know, be obedient. Accept the Lord's grace, you know, accept his mercy, and don't let this thing ruin your heart, okay? I'm going to come back to this in a second. So, I would say that we have a couple of responses to this before I really dig into this heart stuff. I was praying about it and thinking through, you know, that's why I try to do this. I try to make teaching relevant. You know, I'm learning to be a teacher, but I know the one thing I want to do, I want to explain the text, and I want to make it relevant to what's going on in our life. I want to make it relevant to you. So I sit here and think, okay, this text is saying the Lord's going to harden some, and he's going to soften some, and his word's going to do that, and I want to know, how does that apply to me? And I wrote two things. I wrote for myself. For one, I should have boldness to share the gospel and not fear rejection as a fruit of this message. And it's just simple, because I'll use Joe again. If I'm going to share the gospel with Joe, number one reason dealing with youth is who I mainly work with. I hear from not sharing the gospel is I'm scared of rejection. That's the number one reason I hear, okay? But if I get this, that Jesus' mission isn't all about being received 100% of the time, and maybe sometimes it's to do something in someone's heart that maybe gives them over to something or hardens it more for a season or for whatever reason. God just has a bigger mission and plan than what I have with the preaching of His Word. It's not about getting a yes every time. If I get that, then I can throw the Word out, you know, to Joe in faith, trusting that it's going to do whatever it's supposed to do, whether it's plant a seed and grow eventually or harden his heart now or maybe he gets saved right now. But I should take from this a boldness that I should preach and preach to everyone and continue to do so without a fear of rejection, because just maybe rejection for now might be the Lord's will. Okay? You guys hear that? And secondly, this brings up a lot of questions. But if I'm just focusing on my own deal and from this scripture, I should have a thankfulness that I often miss, that the Lord has graciously given me ears to hear. I pray that, you know, I don't hope that you guys would hear that. You guys should all have a thankfulness. Lord, why did you give me ears to hear, whatever age you gave me ears to hear, you know? You blessed that to me. You blessed my ears to hear. You gave me grace. And a thankfulness should just be produced in my heart that just wipes out bitterness and moaning of going to the Lord and saying, why is this happening? Why now? Why is, because we're all going through hard times. But we can all come right back to this. You gave me ears to hear. Man, you know, and there should be a proper emotional response to revelation. And I see how often I miss that, you know. We miss it. So lastly, I want to go back to my Matthew 12 verse that I started in. Matthew 12:33. And he says here, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. That's what Jesus is doing with these parables. That's what he's going to start doing this. Matthew 13 is all about parables. He's going to start giving parables because he's either going to, there's a whole group of people that's indecisive. They're not sure what they think about Jesus. They're half in, half out, going to leave as soon as they hear a hard word, okay? So Jesus starts to give parables to make the tree good or bad. And again, he does that by exposing the heart. And so what I would take from that is, I got three statements. Be diligent with what heart you're hearing the word with. You have some control over that. You have some control of what offenses you allow in your heart and what junk you allow in your heart. So be diligent to what heart you hear the word with. Are you hearing God's word? Are you hearing this teaching? Are you hearing preaching? Are you hearing really good preaching? Really bad teaching? Are you just, when you're studying the Bible, test your heart every time. You know, are you going at it with a good and noble heart? And are you going to let the word endure? Are you going to go home from Sunday's message and talk to your family about it and stir it up? And there's so much we can do to be better with hearing the word. That's actually probably the main thing I pray. I pray all throughout the week for this lesson, okay, just to be responsible with it. And I pray for myself to have anointing, but I pray probably twice as much, honestly, for you guys to have ears to hear whatever little chunk that you're supposed to hear out of this word. I pray for you guys to have ears to hear. That's my main prayer for this teaching, okay? And, yeah, go.
Hearing and allowing.
That's amazing. Thanks for sharing. Awesome. Yeah, thanks.
And he said, Mark said, I would love to tell this, to share this with people. And he said, tell my story.
Oh, man, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. You do have some control of that, of the condition of your heart. And if you don't know how to work with that, just ask the Lord. That's so simple, you know. We just have this to always fall back on. I can turn to the Lord, you know. Here I am. I know I probably do this every day, okay? I have a lot of stuff in my heart. I got issues and struggles and temptations and wounds. And here I am. And in your time, I don't need it this second, you know. Just be faithful to work on me. I give myself to you. I give my heart to you, okay? Proverbs 4:23 is the verse I'm going to end with. It just says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Okay? And young people, don't take this just as a verse to not about, that's just about dating, okay? Everything you do, guard your heart, okay? Guard your heart from lies. Guard your heart from anger and bitterness. And you do, one way you do this is, like I said, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. I have this perfect way to test the fruit coming out of my heart, you know? If I would just pay attention to my speech, okay? If I'm talking bad about Sean, you know, I shouldn't be focused on fixing Sean. I should be focused on, there's probably something bad in my heart, okay? And that should be the first place I start. And so that's one way I guard my heart. I realize, man, I'm on guard over this thing. I'm on guard. And there's something bad in here because I see bad stuff coming out of it. And so I've got to dig in, and the best way to do it is go to another person, okay, in love, you know, where I'm not talking bad about Sean, but I'm saying, man, there's just something here. Can you help me? What's going on? Pray for me, you know. And that's just, it plays into how important it is to continually meet with brothers and sisters, because those things can actually slide for years and years and years, almost undetected, because people haven't learned to pay attention to their speech, that their heart condition is always spilling out, okay. So everything you do flows from the condition of your heart. So be above all else, guard it. Okay? You're the guard of it from now on. You know, you hear this word now. You're the guard. So, amen. Let's pray. Thank you for coming. Lord, I just pray that. I pray that over each one of us, Lord, that we would take that position as a watchman over each one of our own hearts and over the hearts of others. I pray when we awakened to what's spilling out of it, I pray that we'd be on guard about to what's coming against it. I pray that you would stir us and awaken us and revive us, Lord, that we'd be alive and living and awake and not dead and dull with ears that don't hear, Father. I pray that we would press in passionately, Lord, to be the ones who have ears to hear in every area, Lord. We want to hear your voice. We desire to hear your voice. And we ask for ears to hear. And let us do our part, Lord, to have nothing that blocks, Lord, what you're doing in our hearts. We thank you for your word and your son and Jesus, the one who deals with all this and saves us. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.